I would like to welcome honorable members, members of the Department of Agriculture, PG and UK. And welcome back to the community. Long time no see. I would like maybe to again formally welcome everybody here, honorable members, DG and kids of the Department of Agriculture. And also I've apologized for being late. And apologies, we received apologies from Mamfuna and Dr. Kaifa Nikel, who is attending a funeral, his mother-in-law has passed away. Those are the only two apologies. Or Nova Bura Varadin Bob. Without any waste of time, I'll give over to DG, maybe to introduce him and also get into the report of the Auditor General on the performance of the audit as important section of the different Department of Agriculture. Thank you. Over to you, DG.
Thank you. Madam Chair, good morning, members of the portfolio committee. The team that I have brought with me, starting right at the far end, is our Chief Director by the title of Chief of Communications, Madam Simone. And then we've got next to her Mr. Reddy, who's our internal audit officer. Next to him is Dr. Mudhane. He's got a long title as the chief director, Animal Health, Safety and Disaster Management. And then we've got next to him our Director of Agricultural Products and Inspection Services, Mr. Mwekeza Ramaswamy. Then we've got Mr. Evan Ranamey, who's the Chief Director for Animal Health Safety and Plant Health and Inspection Services. And next to me here is my CFO as well as the DVG for Corporate Services, Mr. Tony Marais. Madam Chair, members of the committee, we believe this report by the Auditor General has been circulated to yourselves. And would form and have some of our ideas and comments with respect to what was coming out in terms of our performance regarding our inspection services. The inspection services covers particularly our borders, whether it's our international airports, land borders in terms of the neighboring countries as well as our ports. It's those three areas that the inspection services cover. A point that is not reflected in the report is that this report was actually initiated by the department to request the Auditor General to come up with an audit in terms of our performance in this area. It arises in general when the Auditor General's office deals with the finance matters and then asks the CFO to say what are the other areas which you believe we could pay attention to so that we give you a report. And Mr. Marais indicated to them this line of the service. Our idea of directing them to that is because starting as early as 2000, and in particular after 2005, when we actually split what was a large branch, agriculture, products and resource management, we had highlighted in our strategic plan and approach risk management and particularly biosafety. Biosecurity is a key element. And when we split that large branch to establish a biosecurity and disaster management branch, we then, it's on that basis that we were saying, over and above what we are doing and what we intend to do, we would like to have an independent audit in terms of our services, particularly inspection services. We interacted with the Auditor General on this score. The intention was that they would indicate which are the areas that still need attention, in particular from those that we are dealing with. The report, unfortunately, doesn't come from that perspective and has actually really not followed up in that line of our thinking. Nonetheless, it has been helpful to indicate to us, and we are taking many of the issues which we comment on there so that it feels and enables us to address some of the issues. I thought that was very important amongst us because, Madam Chair, as you heard in the SCOPA, in the conclusion by the SCOPA Chair, where he said the work and the performance of the department has been good, but has also been bad. Because if it was not for the audit report, we would not have done something. Now, I wanted to put that record straight that, in fact, it's the department that initiated the audit report, and it serves us in that manner. The second point that this grants me also is to indicate, therefore, that statements such as we were caught with our pants down would not necessarily arise because we had raised the issue and the audit report did indicate the areas that we are dealing with, we need to attend to, because in general that's already our approach. I thought this would be helpful both to the members to say indeed that's where we are going, and this is part and parcel of assisting us to indicate the areas that we need attention. Other than that, Madam Chair, I would request Mr. Mave just to indicate what we have done in terms of the spending and the personnel. Maybe he will be back up by Mr. Rada Mayor and Dr. Mudisane could add. But other than that, with your guidance, Madam Chair, we were willing to just receive your questions and discussion and respond to rather than make the traditional presentations. Thank you.
Listen, thank you. Without having you know how the National Treasury works in terms of processes and additional money, quite the interior, which gives you a 3-year budget is on a rolling basis. And if you want to increase that, you know what we call options or policy options that you submit to National Treasury, and that goes through a whole process to cabinet before additional funds is even allowed for a department. Now what we did with this function, as long back as 1998-99, throughout the year, when we do our savings, we identify that and we push this money around towards inspection services because we thought it was important. For instance, I think all the members of the committee have already known about our dogs announcements, what we call the Suzuki K9 unit that we have announcements on international flights. Maybe some of you were caught out with unlawful products or whatever by our dogs. That is, for instance, a project that we implemented and it cost us quite a number of grants without a single help from anybody. It was done by reprioritization of funds and money within the budget as is. Now, the chairperson for the current year, flowing from our underspending that we had last year, we did, I would say, extensive reprioritization exercise. And then not so much in the current year, we allocated an additional 1.2 million for improve or increase of the number of man hours that we spend at all our border posts, harbor airports as well as land ports. And then chairperson for 08-09, in other words, the first year of your next MTEF term, through our reprioritization process, we've identified 25 million rand, which we now allocated towards this function. In other words, we've looked at understanding trends in the department, and with the director's general's approval, we've now channeled those monies towards inspection services. We also submitted to the National Treasury an option for the improvement of the service for 100 million rand additional, so that we can, to a certain extent, and then adhere to what auditors and also is. Like the DGS said, Chairperson, we have requested this report to indicate to us which way to follow and where we need to further improve this service. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable
members, it's just perhaps to follow up on what DG had said. We had in the past, last year, also we had to this committee indicated the strategy that we're following on the World Trade Organization and the SPS and TBT agreement that we had signed. The department has also structured now, the DG has structured the department to get effect to that strategy. And this is just follow up work as far as that is concerned. I think that is important. That we should keep in mind that we find ourselves in this global environment, and although accepted as a developing country on these forums, at these forums, we are competing and we are trading with the developed world, so we must all the time try and enhance our systems and our processes. Thank you.
Thank you. And since there are no any addition, Honourable Members, what is that we have received the report from the Auditor General, which is mainly giving me the overview on biosafety and biosecurity, on inspecting import inspection and the key findings from the Auditor General. Are there any questions from members? Honorable Dali, followed by Honorable Abra.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I have wanted to the usual approach of presentation of questions. This time around, we'll be on our side, the firing of the cloud, hoping that they are ready with ammunition to speak with them. Chairperson, I want to address myself to the question that I'm going to ask. If we, on the basis of the paragraph 4.1 of the report, it will fall the department under biosafety and biosecurity. But my question is really linked to that part, so that they are able then, therefore, to elaborate in terms of that. And also, in terms of my question, is also linked to the structure which I suppose was established in 2003, in paragraph 4.2.3. Which that structure proposed was supposed to be the church, right? Which I'm sure they'll be able then, therefore, to advise us that from 2003 to date, what they have done. Having said that, Chairperson, if I may refer to key findings on paragraph 5, paragraph 5.1.1, low percentage of high risk of contaminated sector. This is what I'm going to start from. In terms of this, you see, if you look at that, they said this inspector will not have access to accurate, complete, and timely information or data on imports to allow them to systematically target those that pose the items. One thing it explained to us, in terms of one, since the DG is saying that they initiated this report via AG to say before they initiated this, after the establishment of the structure in 2003, what was in place before they initiated this particular report? What they have done before they initiated the report? What was the reason for them to initiate this report? Then, in terms of that particular paragraph that referred to, the next part is on page 6. Page 6 deals with, of course, inspectors were not aware of all contaminants to be infected. Why? They must tell us. If these inspectors, in fact, they are geared up for the task that is facing them, and go through to the question of the skills and the capabilities, but maybe from the response side would be advised accordingly. Keep look at that point, point 1, point 2, K in particular. If you go further to the character code and number there, or specifically deal with number 1 and number 3 in particular. The reason I'm dealing with that, those two chairs is in relation to the, if you remember, we had some problem of speech in Southern Cape and also to Eastern Cape before the swine fever kicked in. The reason I'm focusing on those two numbers and trade code there is on the basis of the assertion that the swine fever was not detected when it came through via this ports. What the least we can elaborate for us on that. And secondly, tell us what measures are in place now to make sure that these diseases are not escalated in terms of what is reflected in the respiratory report. This is the last chapter before I hand over to my comrades and my comrade Nell in particular. That if you look at on page 8 on the document before, I comment on the accounting officer, paragraph 5.2, number of inspectors. There's a bottom there, you see, that table there. I wonder if they talk to us in terms of the table. What are they doing, what they've done today in terms of addressing the issue that is not going to read that one there. The last one's on page 9. Page 9 is under 5.2.2, insufficient coverage candidates. Effort and cover. There are three bullet points that I'm not going to read each and every bullet point, which is indicating the example of the problem that they identified by this particular AG. Particularly, they raised the question of even though Nigeria was one of the African countries where outbreaks of avian influenza have been reported, all arrivals from Nigeria were scheduled for the period not covered by the document. Why? You know? Because if an area is identified as a risk area, and in your infection and in your effort, you only have those drug units at a particular time, and the time that those allies are affected, there is no infection at all. Don't you think that you're putting ourselves in danger in terms of the disease that are flowing around? But I'll end at this stage, but if I have a finish, I still have more questions, but I want to allow my colleagues to ask questions. I would really appreciate if you give me the second part. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you, Comrade Zali, for allowing us. Paragraph 5.1, page 5, access to information. What progress has been made to maintain a database containing details about pest risk assessments, the status thereof, as well as interceptions arising from inspections? Secondly, whether any procedures have been implemented to ensure that inspections related to pests and diseases are prioritized according to the risk that they pose. And then on paragraph 5.2, page 8, regarding the procuring and training of the additional dogs for the dog unit, has anything happened since the report shall write? Is anything being done? And then, can you tell us what have you done to ensure that fully compliant officials, in terms of their knowledge, skills, and abilities, are adequately trained and deployed? And then, Chair, the final one for this time around, can you tell us if there's any progress made in terms of the fast-tracking and the mentorship program? I shall rest my case for the present.
May I also just ask that does this pesticide act that you referred to, I think, not you, that the AG has referred to, is it Act number 78 of 1947? Is that the Act? And I think that the Act provides for regulations to be framed from time to time. If you can also just indicate whether you believe that that Act, which was passed in 1947, adequately covers
the requirements
of the present day,
when
tiny little spot
in the good light world.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I want to say that I'm glad that to hear that the department initiated this report by the ordinary auditor general. My first question was along with what Mr. Dali said, and I didn't hear him correctly, but what I want to ask is what I think he asked is, what happened before 2005 to the services? So is that what you... Yeah, okay. Then I'm covered with that. The other thing is the financing of the services. I don't think we all need to be told how important this is. And Mr. Murray has alluded to that. But I couldn't understand. He's talking about 25 million this year and then in 2009 about 100 million. I think this is so important that we should make the departments make representations to the cabinet for the adjustment budget for this year, because there is always money in the adjustment budget for something important like this. And what are your view on this? Thank you very much.
Niyabonga Chairperson. Page 5. I just wanted to find out which department of agriculture is working with the Department of Trade and Industry on the information systems. Because you say there are no integrated information systems for recording and reporting on the import inspection of the department has been established. So, is it established now? When you go further down, you said the second phase of the disorder development was recently stopped and no further development has since been done. Why? And when you go to 5.1.1, there are many issues here. You say the inspectors did not have access to accurate, complete, and timely information or data on imports to allow them to systematically target those that pose the high risk. Now, you carry on to say inspectors drew on their knowledge and experience. If you page again further, you say that the consignments were not inspected in time. I really fail to understand why did the inspectors not get access to information, data, to enable them, even if they can draw from their own knowledge, why were they not given the information in time so that they can do their work properly? And lastly, chapter 7. Okay, let me leave it at that. I'll come back on the other one.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. On page 10,
item number 5.2.3, where it talks of consignments were not inspected in good time. There is mention there of inspectors only working, being able to work during working hours in ports and harbors. My question is, are these inspectors of the Auditor General or our own? If it is our own, I don't see the purpose it would serve to focus only on working hours when the world is at so a 24-hour basis. It would defeat the purpose of inspection. The second question is on page 5, paragraph 5.1. If you could indicate the progress made with regard to outsourcing and development of the envisaged import and export information system. Also, if we could share progress, whether progress has been made with regard to the integration of data capturing systems and the involvement of SAS in this regard. And finally, Chairperson, if the department could inform us about the progress regarding the compilation and implementation of standards operating procedures. In this regard, we would be happy to hear whether the review of standards operating procedures has been finalized. Thank you.
Thanks, I just want to say, you know, I believe that when the department comes to present reports for us, it's just not for fun, it's for a particular purpose. And for us as a committee, all we are interested in is to check whether the department is delivering or not. That's what our interest is, and nothing else. And if you look at page 9, what is written there? AFIS was not involved. I'm not going to read the author. The department only had 4 dogs. There were no dogs available. So what do you expect us to say and do about what people are telling us? What should we do? Because you are telling us that you have done nothing. That's what you are telling us. You are just presenting problems to us. You have actually done nothing if you look at page 9. I mean, it really doesn't make sense to me for them to come on the top to us, to make what right. Why do they come in front of us? For us to listen to problems every day. The department needs to do this. The department can't do this. They will never come to us and tell us that the department has done this. Just look at page 9. Really, it's heartbreaking. Just look at page 9. They said the department was not involved in the process of this on the actual waste removal. A consultant did it. Someone was just going to come in, do that, get money, and off they go. So it means that consultant was never ever even monitored. So they cannot even tell us whether that job was done or not. That's the interest there. That's true. I get very emotional about this.
I think honourable members, this is a report from the Auditor General, whereby maybe from the department side we need to know, since from the report from the Auditor General, what has they done? For an example, if then the key findings from the Auditor General was there were 4 dogs. We are hoping now the response will be they've added more dogs. If there are no any question, maybe of Mam Lady.
As much as my colleagues have just said, when you look at page 12, skills and experience, you wonder what is it that the department wants us to advise or what to do, because they are reporting to us that everything is not really sufficient. Everything is insufficient. The inspectors, no experience, no. I'm just wanting to find out from them what is it that they want us to do in as far as this report is concerned, what advice they want us to do. Because truly, we need to be very practical now. For the 5 years from 1994, we've been trying to revamp the apartheid system. Now we thought we have put things in perspective that we could now start moving forward. The president has mentioned that this is time for delivery and not theorizing, because we have spent more years talking about how to do these things. But I was thinking that this time we would be saying, they would be telling us something much better. I'm very sad at times when I see resources that things are incomplete, things are not sufficient, while sometimes we really have sufficient resources out there in the rural areas, or it's because it's out of reach, where we could utilize some of the institutions to train these inspectors that they are insufficient, to give them the skills. We have resources which are just lying there, they are not utilized. I don't know why. Because only when you should get experience is when you get trained. And they will tell you that maybe they don't have those facilities or they don't have enough people to train. I really don't know what is the stumbling block. Maybe if they can tell us what is retarding progress of skill provision and the experience. If they can tell us what is the stumbling block. Because we're not really interested in complaints. We need to see progress, Mr. President. The people out there are screaming at us. There's no point that we should just sit around the table here, not making progress. Both the MPs and the people that we think they should actually put hands on and ask for help somewhere if we need monitoring. But most of the things that they give us here is their prerogative to see that things are done.
Thank you very much. Just to start with, I want to commend the department for making the initiative of inviting the Auditor General to look at their work. I think we should commend them for that, because naturally the Auditor General is going to pick up something which might be negative, and that they have been brave enough to do that, and they should be commended for that. Chairperson, I think what the Auditor, the DG has suggested has created some problems even for them. The suggestion that we have received the report and we should fire questions on them. That we have received the report, only what should really have happened is that they should now have told us what they have done, paragraph by paragraph, what they have done about the queries raised by the Auditor General. That if we started that way, then it should have helped us too much, more than what the time we have spent now. If that is it, may we are where we are now, Chairperson. I've just got one question, Chairperson. Why is the department lying about the exports, agricultural exports. Why is there nothing like that? They are still waiting for somebody to advise them to go to the Auditor General and ask them to inspect or audit their exports. Secondly, Chairperson, on page 10 mentions his needs of the desire to have a swift audit or inspection of the perishables. Now, what I would like to know, how swift is the inspection now to avoid the damage to the perishables? How swift is it now that there's a possibility that those perishables can be damaged? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honourable Speaker. That's why I made my comments in saying that as arriving from the report, what the department has done since from the report, hoping that from the responses that we receive from the department, we will hear the move from the report.
One problem that the country has experienced recently, as a result, according to the press, of fertilizers imported from a particular Asian country, which was used by farmers in the pineapple industry. Our pineapples apparently contain too much air or something, and they have been rejected. Now, if you take the cumulative effect of not having checked out what is coming into the country, that being allowed to be used to produce something, and that production cannot be sold. Cumulative effect is that so many people are at risk now of losing their jobs. Those that may have consumed that product are at the risk of contracting some other form of illness. So the whole thing here, money that's going down the drain, I added to think what the cumulative effect is, not only in terms of monetary losses, but in terms of human suffering in general. People being put out of work and all sorts of things. If you could perhaps tell us what really went wrong there, and why is it that we do not check out the sort of materials or products that are brought into the country which can have this kind of negative impact and effect. Why are we so lax? That's the issue here. Thank you, dear.
The one that I was looking for, Vice Chairperson. You indicate that there's lack of skills. I'm worried about this. In all the reports that comes from the department, not only the Department of Agriculture, you come across a lack of experience, lack of capacity, lack of skills. And this has been continuing for years, and also lack of coordination. Now, I'm very much worried about this. What I wanted to find out is that you were talking about the shortage of inspectors. But on page 4, you also indicate that there's the Border Control Operational Coordinating Committee, which is a cabinet task committee that is responsible for the strategic management of the ports, including infrastructure and etc. Now, you also indicate that this originates from the 2002 State of the Nation's address. Now, I just wanted to find out that this body also not working? Is it also lacking inspectors or what? Because there is a body that is tasked for inspection and looking after the infrastructure and so on, as put on 4.2.3. Now, is this body not working as well? Does it also lack capacity? Does it also lack skills? Does it also lack experience? As we have put it, that there's a lack of skills. If yes, why is it still there? How can we improve it? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honourable Speaker. if there are no any other additional questions, I'll give over to the department so that you can hear the response.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, some specific questions I would allow my colleagues to take them on. The functioning of BOCOC, the cabinet structure, I would request Dr. Modisane and Mr. Radamer to come to answer that bit, including its capacities, its skills, and its experience, and how it is assisting and dealing with some broader questions of BOCOC itself and what it is meant for. The issues around inspectors also could be taken by the two gentlemen I've cited, plus Mr. My director, Mr. Ramasodi, in terms of what have we done. That would also include the issue, the issues around the vacancies and our actions to mitigate that matter. That should also, Mr. Ramasodi, cover the dog unit coverage. And with respect to the dogs also, where we are from and how have we increased the number and still the coverage as a home. The matter around the pest risk assessment, Yemen, can you take that one? And then the Pesticide Act, whether it is Excel 36 or another one. The financing of the services and the adjustments, I think you should include that into this, my own letter to the DG. Our working relationships with the DTI, and then the consignments, the timely inspections. Mr. Ramasodi, if you could take that one, and the AG, whether those inspectors are ours or the department, I mean the AGs. The fertilizer, Dr. Modisane, I will then address some of the more broader issues that arise from the comments by the members, Madam Chair. In general, as already pointed out, and I think the comment by Honorable Member Victory, indeed we landed ourselves in a bit of a problem because we responding to the report, and I sought a guidance in part to say how would we deal with it. That's why at the end I sort of alerted Mr. Malay and the other officers to sort of come and say what we have done. Indeed, we would have also accepted the approach of saying, given this, what have you done? But that's why in part we have said we have started with this work very early. Recognizing that we were opening our borders as a country, we were joining the international community, and it had implications, and our trade was increasing. And from that perspective, we have been posting various people across the globe to cover our key major trading areas and relations. But also, given that the
joining of South Africa of the international community had implications, particularly in terms of movement of people and groups. We started setting up some systems. I had indicated fairly early in my introduction that a branch that was taking almost 75% of our business was split into two. It's going to be split further into three. One of them is going to be split further into three, so that inspections, services, the plant health and animal themselves receive the full and complete attention that it deserves. It is, Madam Chair, as the statement says, that the President alluded across the government system that our border control needs attention, and hence that body. And that body also is work in evolution given our rising international interaction. It's not yet complete, it's not yet there. Much of the problems that are alluded even within our specific line are actually existent into the broader body, which covers several departments. And around that body, if I could comment briefly on it, are issues of coordination, expertise, sharing of the resources, identification, systems, procedures. These are many. The departments are not, cover SARS, cover the police services, intelligence, line function departments such as DTI, home affairs, agriculture. Very, very many, and some of them, and they come some of the problems, are on the border, and some have their facilities inside the border. You would notice in the report a comment by the AG that we are letting in some of the goods. Some of it is that the border could identify and catch up with a particular product, but you don't have all the services there and then to assess, manage, and do whatever, and you've got to move inland. Some of these are the these are the issues around this BOCOC. The nature of the audit is that, in general, as pointed by Honorable Pipi, is likely to be coming with areas that need attention. So it's unlikely to tell you, in and of itself, to say we have covered this. It is our hope, and that's why we introduced the subject, to say we have started the work, and we have covered a number of areas, including the dog unit, the split of the department, the putting of the personnel and the funding, but we still needed more. And so it was unlikely in and of itself, if read, as a report, to then tell you where you've done well. It's a different report that we'll be talking to that. So we apologize that the report will come in that manner, but in general, audit reports don't report good. They report weaknesses and strengthenings that need to be done. We would take it, as I said earlier, to address certain matters. There is another matter, Madam Chair, members, about this system in general and how it operates worldwide. And maybe again that's going to be helpful before I allow my colleagues to come in. Generally, in terms of the movement of people and goods, you have an international agreement where the involved states and governments actually take each other's words and documentations about their systems in their country to say, if a good or people move from A to Z, the country that sends the product or a person would have done a series of things that are assumed as done. By the time they land on your shores, you more or less verify or confirm. What then happens is that you don't inspect all the consignments, particularly in terms of goods. There is a sample that is being taken. It should be representative enough to enable the other side to say, yes, we are confident, no, we are not confident.
and the sample is said to be representative if it gives a certain degree of confidence. Now, in the event of some of the diseases that come through the country, two issues arise. It's in our own system to ensure that it is secure enough, but also the sending a consignment from the country that has released and given permit. Like in Scopa, it was said, we're not dealing with illegal ones because they're dealt with by different authorities. So we deal here with the authorized and the legal consignments. If country A sends a good and has certified it and yet it's diseased, once, like in the swine fever things where it was swill that was the problem, the issue again, over and above it arising within our system, arises with the country sending. In the case of the fertilizer, we're taking this matter to the Chinese authority, the authorities, and say dogs are dying not only on our country, but in the US and elsewhere. Do something about it. And I got a report that said it's still continuing. I remember giving an authorization to the officials to say, tell the Chinese authorities that they're actually going to stop. Until now, we get a, that again, that's what I'm alluding to, an assurance from the Chinese authorities to say they have done the checking on that which they sent. I think the problem in the different cases continued, but luckily, they have voluntarily now suspended some of their consignments. That's how the system works. It's first and foremost on the sending country. If it breaks through that country, our system is there to ensure that at least we cover and alert the other authorities. So there is that element that I think we should, I want to convey to the members that that's the way the international system operates in general. We sample, we don't take all. We would have liked to. But in terms of goods, you really have huge consignments coming in. And you can't check all of them because it would not be practical, let alone whether it's possible. It just wouldn't be. So the sample is a standardized. And that's where then our officers, the inspectors, their training comes to play here. If the broader issues around the systems, the facilities, and the personnel, particularly the personnel.
I just want to check also on infrastructure and a comment by which was made by Mantis, saying that are you now having on strengthening infrastructure on the port? Are you now having an infrastructure that will be able to trace back?
Indeed, part of this international system, particularly now, is the traceability, where the governments across the world, and particularly developed countries, given the outbreak of diseases and disease, now no longer want to say it comes from South Africa, but within South Africa, it comes from this farm and this animal. If it is an animal thing, and then if it's a plant, also that. So the traceability issue is extremely important, particularly now, because also it enables therefore not just to deal with the disease, but to deal with it at source. At source, not in terms of country, but in terms of farm. That's extremely important. We are attending to that matter, and we're dealing with, don't think we are there as yet. And we will brief the members in terms of what still needs to be done. And our system in general is acknowledged as being active and very, very dependable on that. But we are not there. I repeat, Madam Chair, we are not yet there to the satisfaction in terms of that traceability of our system. Having talked about it, though, the personnel issue, and here's a general picture again for the government, and I'm glad that Honorable Member Mantuli raised it. It's a universal government-wide problem. Not only that, there is a feature that is seeping into the government system, and it talks to these matters. One, the DPSA has published that the shortages are now across the board, across government department, and we are beginning to cannibalize on each other, poaching from one to the other, but in general the system is not ameliorated. The international panel of economists has told cabinet that in fact it's likely to get worse as we move forward in the skills. The PSA addressed cabinet in the recent Yahoo to say our experience in the government system, particularly with our frontline people, is that experience is getting lower and lower and the people younger and younger. That doesn't augur well in terms of the government system, both in terms of the information that is carried by human beings, let alone about books. So from that perspective, it's universal. Our experience is getting shallower and shallower, and the skills base, the training, and the numbers are getting lower and lower and more and worsening. It's not any good within the private sector. It's just the general supply of that expertise, hence the importation in part of some of these skills. Regardless of what we do in terms of our training and our institution, where South Africa is now and what it means is way out of line. And really, cabinet is then also in strike. That's why then with Home Affairs, Madam Chair and members, there's this thing of reduce, lower, and simplify and speed the process of importing skills. We are now going to a level of saying if the person is trained, leave any other thing, get the person in. We're reaching the level of the Canadas, the Australias, the US of this world in terms of we just want skilled people, let them come in. It's acute in some other countries like in the Gulf States, outside of the Canada, Australia, and some others. We now joined that. And again, that is a universal phenomenon. We've got to make the best out of it. Initially, Africa thought we would reach agreements, members, that on the continent we would import. I think we've been way the experience has gone beyond us, because in our hospitals, in some services, we've got neighboring African people in our country. So that is a general, it's how we cope with it, rather than to say we could patch up here and here. If that is allowed and that's accepted, then in terms of, in other words, therefore, in as far as skills is concerning, as far as capacity is concerning, as far as experience is concerned, we are going to have, for some time to come, if the economists that are advising government that we believe, because we're going to have some time, have a problem with that issue. So we've got to cope with it. We would be reporting on the coping mechanisms that I have said on that. With your permission, then, can I then request my colleagues to take these issues point by point and answer them? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honourable members. Just perhaps to refer to the indication and request actually for perhaps another way of dealing with this. During our discussions with the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, they had also asked for a report on what has been done after this report, and we had indicated we will submit a written report to that. Honourable Member Salari was there, and he indicated that this committee will also like to receive that report, so it will be forthcoming. And very important also, I think, on the follow-up the DG had indicated, that this is a global system that we are participating in. And it all started in 1996 with the establishment of the WTO, the World Trade Organization, and then South Africa signed up with 150 other members on the sanitary, what they called sanitary and phytosanitary agreement, the technical barrier to trade agreement. Sanitary phytosanitary and nothing else than food safety, animal health, plant health, and all those kinds of issues, biosecurity, biosafety issues. And then on the technical barrier to trade, all the to the quality and all the other issues. Now very important, and that is the question was asked, what did we do before? Before it was a different, as we all know, it was a quite different, totally different system by which agricultural trade took place globally. It was a subjective system. We all know about the permits issued to import and export products, and now from that stage onward, the whole world had changed. the question was asked the other day as to but how and where do we find ourselves currently. Now after that studies, even I think it was only in 2000 that the Americans, the USA, President Bill Clinton, had pulled in billions literally of dollars into the system to support this trade system. Because this trade system is not about what's going on in other countries. It is about, it deals with firstly, domestically, what are you doing? Then imports and exports. Now, and we had all the time as South Africa focused on the export side. And we had good reports. We had the end of last year, an audit report from the European Union on what we do with pesticides on exports. And we passed that. So there's areas that we are good in, and then there's areas that we are building in. Now again, the developed world has put in billions of dollars of resources to support this. South Africa is taking it step by step, I would like to say, within our abilities to also spend money, because we all know you can't spend money if you haven't got the capacity to spend money. I think this report clearly shows that we are building. This report focuses not only on the import inspections. There's all the other areas, many of them, that this report had not even touched on, and that supports this. This report boils down to the fact that we need more people, and we need sophisticated information management systems to do this risk assessment. Now, in this classification of countries in this global area, you will find that they're referring to least developed countries, developing countries, and developed countries. Now, South Africa, as part of the developing countries in this area of SPS, of these issues, I think is one of the top countries. Although we still got hand systems and we've got the insufficiencies going together with that, we're one of the best as far as and benchmarked against the developing country group. We're trading with developed countries, and that's the reason why we must build and we must strengthen all the time our resources. The issue of equivalence, just want to quickly refer to that, and that is what the DG has referred to, that is actually the strength behind this whole thing. If we as a government, or if we as a country export 8 billion rands of fruit to the rest of the world, to the EU, then we as a government must give the guarantee that fruit will be arriving there in a sound condition as far as all these issues are concerned. The issuing certificates to that extent. And that country then accepted that part because it won't be possible for South Africa to export that 8 billion rands of fruit if it is going to be inspected at ports of entry in other countries. Logistically wise, it is just impossible. But we must have equivalence, so they're expecting the same from us. If a authority in another country gives us a certificate that says this product is good as far as these issues are concerned, then we're accepting that. Yes, of course, there is the risk management issues coming to being to look at some of the product to confirm that we satisfy. So we mustn't think that this is a total inspection kind of thing. We don't have the capacities to look further into that, and that is what this report says. On the BCOCC, to become more specifically focused on the questions, the BCOCC has exactly done what Honourable Member has referred to as one of the questionables on the table all the time around coordination. The President, in his State of the Nation address in 2003, had indicated that border security is one of the main risks as far as the country is concerned, also including biosecurity at ports of entry. And that is when and where we have started focusing. Now, at borders, there's five departments, key departments. And they had, prior to that, they had done on their own what they were doing. So the BCOCC, Border Control Operational Coordinating Committee, has been established under the JCPS cluster, and all five key departments sit on this, and it is, as it's indicated in the report, strategically, it is not on the operational level involved, this committee on border control activities. In other words, each department will still have its own inspectors, but we now, in a coordinating manner, from this committee, doing what should be done at that. It's not taking over any line function responsibilities from departments, but also being good again. Currently, for instance, there's a budget of in excess of a billion rand at this developing committee within the BCOCC attending to infrastructure at ports of entry. because our infrastructure, buildings, etc., etc., ports of entry was the channels. So there's on the BOCC a development, they've got a development committee where all departments' needs are addressed, and that budget currently spent there on infrastructural needs at ports of entry is in excess of $1 billion. It's over a time period, of course. So that is a
on the departments and the inspectors. Is there a survey that has been done or a data that has been collected on how many inspectors each department has? Like for instance the DTI, Health, Department of Agriculture, the police, I think Foreign Affairs also does, Customs and Excise. And to take it further, you have this commodity board, you have your citrus board, your maize board, your potato board, milk board, etc. Do they have inspectors? If yes, how many do they have? Those put together, how many do we have? Is there a survey that has been done? Is there data on that?
Thank you, on the work on this BCOCC, and the five departments involved here, there was a roadmap as far as the land border courts are concerned, as well as they're also going into the same exercise for airports and for others. But there's a document compiled on the needs for the different departments to enable this committee to look into the infrastructural needs, the building, etc., because it must in the end be erected to be sufficient for all the departments. So there's a coordinated effort done, and there's a document on the table on that needs. For instance, just agriculture, we envisage, and that's now another system, also perhaps referring back to the question, I think there was more than one, what happened before. There's agriculture, let me just keep to the land force, for instance. There's 54 land force. Now, South Africa, is, as far as agriculture is concerned, declaring some ports as agricultural, allowed to for agricultural products to enter. Now that has changed that environment, and we have not changed with it. So when we had, what it means is that prior to a certain stage, we had declared 4 or 5 land ports as ports whereby the agricultural products can come into the country. It's not supposed then to be coming into the country at other ports, but with the picking up of trade, it is insufficient. So there is, for instance,
you mean that the 5 ports are the only ports that agricultural products are coming in?
That was now the question.
From the 54.
What we did previously. Previously, there was only a few ports that had been declared as agricultural entry ports, but insufficient in to what is needed. So we have stepped up on that in the meantime since 1998, I think it's mentioned in that report, and then especially from 2003. And what we envisage is that we must be at least at the 22 commercial ports, agriculture to say. There's 22 commercial ports, and commercial ports is now...
Now
we have already 11. We currently have 11 ports, and not sufficiently staffed there. For instance, if you take Bybridge, we need 44 people at Bybridge, because Bybridge is 24 hours a day open, and there's 5 activity points within Bybridge where agriculture not be involved. Currently, we have, if I'm not wrong, in the region of 22 people there, and the total figure there was, I think, that currently we do have, and we have raised from 6, I think, to 54. And we envisage that in land ports alone, we will need in the end 140 people to demand that 22 ports that we really want to be.
Then going back to my previous question of saying, is there any data, the report that you're talking about is having that information of how many inspectors the department that has. Maybe see if you have information for agriculture, is there any specific figure that you can give?
Yeah, I'm giving that figure now. I think on land ports alone, we envisage that from a few years ago when we had 6, that we in the end will end up with something like, I think, 160. The figures, this is all worked out, and the figures are available if you would like. That is the main, those land ports we envisage that agriculture should be, present and managed in accordance to the arrangements at that specific port. Some ports 24 hours open, others of course not. That is the one on the BCC. I don't think there's any follow-up. Then Kessler can take the one on the personnel, if you like.
Through you, there was another question that arose particularly scope, and that when we were comparing the department in terms of the system, it was SAS, the certificate and something that they in the operation of the system, so that it's not everything that SAS gives a certificate to that we would, among others, because of what you just said in terms of declaring some areas agricultural. So some of the consignments that come with us could say, could do something with it. Agriculture might not be interested because it does not have an agricultural issue that we would like to attend to. So if like the report was raising here and putting us under pressure to say, but you should follow the SAS system, it would not necessarily be, because we've got a particular focus when we say agricultural. Whereas SAS more or less would cover slightly more. But what we've done, amongst others, was to say, if the Auditor General doesn't want to understand that bit or thinks it's far better to go to a different system, we're now wanting to then pronounce on each and every SARS type of an issue. It would mean certain things for us. Much of it would be issues of annoyance to us. For instance, I mean, auditors coming in. From an agricultural perspective, it is of no interest to us, and yet from SARS, it might be. These are some of the issues. What we've not pointed to the members yet, if we engage time and again with the Auditor General, were such like issues to say, they've taken some of the issues which have not factored in the specific agricultural matters. I think my colleagues might cover.
And before you, I just want also to check on personnel, because we are still in personnel, when we're checking on our agricultural border control. You said in some other verses, shortage of personnel, what the department is doing on the progress made from that point of shortage of the personnel. Are there any training that you're conducting? Are there any barriers that you are issuing to just to rectify that or to fit in the need of the personnel in some other quarters for the effectiveness of the country?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mansouri, if you are the personnel for that, and if he's not covering that, we can come back to that. I just follow up on there was questions on SAS, on DPI and our cooperation with it. It's more on the information side, perhaps just quickly answering that question. As soon as we've got this information system in agriculture, it will be linked in with the SAS system. That is the area where we need to then cooperate.
Thanks, Chair.
Lara
members, I'll be touching firstly on an issue that was raised in terms of 512 that spoke to the inspectors not being aware of all consignments that needed to be inspected. And obviously linking it with the access to systems that was raised by Honourable Member completely. The issues here that are at stake are firstly it's the legislative mandate that is being given to the department. In terms of legislation, it says importers are supposed to declare consignments with the Department of Agriculture. The current system that we are having is that the first port of declaration becomes SARS, and therefore from SARS we can get some of the documentation from SARS. But in terms of legislation, in effect, the Agricultural Pest Act specifically says under Section 3 that it has to be declared with the executive officer. So what the Auditor General found was that because most of the declarations are done with SARS, there is a disjuncture between what comes to the Department of Agriculture and what is on the SARS system. And therefore, the inspector has not been aware of all consignments that needed to be inspected. Now, what have we done in terms of after the report was tabled? We have engaged SARS and said that since we don't have a system, current system within the Department of Agriculture that can interface with SARS, after the development of that particular system, we went in her face with us. SAS has granted us the permission to come and integrate once we are there, so that we can be aware of all the consignments that can be that are declared with us. In terms of the also the current system that we are having, we are using an M system as already alluded. What we have done is that we have just now harmonized the systems because the integration between what APC is currently happened in 2005. We have harmonized systems to make sure that all offices within the country are using the same system that fits to the National Border Control Center that is within the BCO system. So our information is easily accessible from that point. So that is what we have done. In terms of the PE, the consignments that were not inspected in PE, those are some of the gaps that were there in terms of not us interacting with us. And what we have done is that we have given a thought to say that now we need to have daily reports from SARS to give us an indication of what came through so that we can browse through and see whether there were agricultural products that were not declared with us so that we can match and reconcile consignments that came in. There was also an issue on vacancies that I had to respond to. Currently, the current establishment in terms of the Agricultural Product Inspection Services lies at 305. And the vacancies there are 10%, so we are having 30 vacancies currently. What we have done, because inspection is a very kind of knowledge-based expertise, what we have done is that we have come up with a specific training program for our inspectors to say that there are five clearly identified legislative mandates that inspectors who are coming in will be trained on. So in that case, when an inspector comes in, we no longer expect them to have those kind of qualifications. For instance, coming in into an inspection duty, you need to have a 3-year qualification, which will have entomology or animal health or any other biological indication. But what we have done is that we have said that we will drop some of the rigid requirements that we are having because we are aware that our pool of people where we can source from is getting a little bit smaller. So what we will be doing is that we will be having an in-house, we are having an in-house training facility that trains inspectors in terms of the legislative mandates that we are having on the table. In terms of the insufficient coverage at airports and harbors, there was an issue on the docks that they are not sufficient to cover those. What we have done is that in April we procured 6 more docks from the USA, but over and above that we have also trained one official from the department to make sure that we no longer go to America to source the dogs, but have an in-house kind of training facility, even for the people who have been trained. Our graduations were in July, and the graduandees and the dogs are now currently deployed at Owerri Tambo International Airport. And one dog is currently deployed full-time at the Owerri Tambo International Main Center, just to cover the issue in terms of the main center. And in terms of cruise ships, what we have done is that we have got an integrated approach with other government departments where we meet on a monthly basis to make sure that all cruise ships that are coming in are being covered by all the departments that have got a vested interest in risks that are caused by the coming cruise ships. In terms of the mentorship program that was coming through, what we have done is that the department had a few vacancies that were at level 9, and what we have been able to do is to lift people from level 6 up to level 9 in 18 months through a fast-tracking program and a mentorship program where we signed contracts with the employees and said, this is a training program that you will undergo, and after the training program, you will be absorbed into level 9. That was successfully completed in December of last year. But we are continuing also with the mentorship program on a one-on-one basis with from web-based training in terms of the senior officials also using it into the lower officials.
Now, I've just received a note also to touch on waste management. What has happened is that waste management is the responsibility of the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. But because of the impact that it has in terms of agriculture is actively involved in making sure that the audits have been done on waste management at different ports. We have drawn up an SOP and also a tick list that inspectors are using in order to check, to audit in fact, whether that is being done in line with what the SOP has. And it's been done at different ports, including Cape Town. We are proposing that with a meeting that we'll be having with this as a department to come up with a way forward in terms of how waste is going to be managed in terms of the proposed bill that deals specifically with waste management. Thanks, Chair.
Chair,
may I
respond?
Yes, Chair.
There's probably about three questions that I will attend to. But before I do that, I would like to inform the committee that every time there is an outbreak of disease that is not prevalent in South Africa, like I'll give an example with avian influenza or swine fever in another country, we do publish in the press and also inform the country of origin that South Africa will prohibit the importation of the products that will be affected by the disease to try to minimize the number of consignments that come from that particular country to come to South Africa. That attends to the question on the provision for the selection of high-risk imported goods, because as the Director General indicated, whatever will be coming from that country will be illegal and will not be accompanied by the import permit, and therefore that consignment will be rejected outrightly. The other question that was asked by Honourable Member Ibram, it's related to Act 36 of 1947, and in particular related to the fact that the Act is old, as I understood him, and then also related
was younger than me.
And then also related to the issue on the cadmium intoxication and the pineapples. Yes, we believe that the Act may probably be on the old side, considering the age in which it was enacted, I mean the year in which it was enacted. What has been happening, however, from the department side is that, in touch with what has been happening internationally, we have always been updating the Act to the effect that even the cadmium, the level of cadmium in the fertilizer that was in the pineapples was catered for in our regulations. However, the importation of this particular fertilizer, which unfortunately also happened to have come from China, there was non-compliance with regards to the declaration that were given by the particular importer. We have to remember that zinc sulfate, which is the choice for the pineapples, was declared in the export certification. But the declaration, as the Director General indicated, was faulty because they actually only declared sulfate in the fertilizer, which is what we are interested in. We do expect to find some cadmium in the fertilizer for the pineapples, because
zinc sulfate is and acetyl sulfate is an integral part of the fertilizer, but we specify the amounts that were allowed in that particular fertilizer. However, it was an adulterated sort of fertilizer, also referring to the melamine intoxication index that the director general referred to. There is also a question that we didn't want to follow up on related to the use of the fertilizer by the particular farmer's concerned, because the very same fertilizer was used in other fields where pineapple was produced, but the other fields did not experience the same problem as this particular farmer. Apparently, from the reports that we received, the particular farm, they sprayed the fertilizer which was not according to use. But we did not want to follow that because we realized that the level of cadmium in the particular fertilizer was far above what we had calculated, far above the 20 parts per million concentration allowed. I also would like to say that with regards to the Act itself, we must remember that the Act is catering for four particular areas, which is the farm feeds, fertilizers, agricultural remedies, and stock remedies. It is the desire of the department to ensure that all these particular special areas have been attended to individually, so that we do not have one Act catering for four different areas. The department is in the process of drafting policies because we wouldn't like to draft regulations in a vacuum. We are in the process of drafting policies to make sure that we divide up this particular Act to make it possible for us to regulate better. But in summary, Honorable Chair, I would like to say that even if the Act is old, we are continuously updating it to cater for new developments, including cadmium. So, thank you, Chair.
Are you updating the Act or the regulations?
We are continually updating the regulations. Yes, amending the regulations to cater for new developments. Yes.
I finish all questions because that if we interject now and again, then they are not going to finish those questions. So that we follow up later, I've already proposed that make the notes and we follow up so that we follow up after they finish those questions. Otherwise, they'll dodge those questions.
Thank you. There was a specific question on the information and the information systems that we are working on, and also referring as in the report to the progress, the previous progress. What happened there, that was, I think, in 2002 somewhere, the department that realizes the necessity for electronic communication systems, information management system. And it was decided at that stage that it will be developed in-house, that our information and technology component will develop that system. A lot of progress has been made. This is the ISODA exports, ISODA import systems. And a lot of information had been gathered. There was a lot of work done as far as the plotting of business systems, business processes are concerned. But this report, that resulted in October last year, the department then decided that we're not going to go on further developing in-house, and we will go out on tender to source this out. This is a huge system. We had in the meantime, in the area of the Legal Products Act, there was a system development that they called Wine Online. Now that system had lessened the logistics and the time that it takes us to export, for instance, a consignment of liquor, wine, or whatever, from 17 days to the benchmark international speeders. So that is the sort of benefit that you of course get with these electronic management systems. So on this one, we are currently out on a tender, or that tender will run within the next week or two. The initial indication is that it will cost us at least 50 million to develop this kind of thing. but we can't go without it. So yes, depending on what is coming back then on the user requirement and the development indication on the cost, we will see what we can cover within this financial year by the reprioritized money, but definitely then this will be included in our option, budget option for 100 million rand from April next year. Thank you.
There was one question from Mr. Nell on the financing. So what I said here for you is that in the current year, in other words, the budget approved and money appropriated by Parliament, we did a reprioritization exercise current year as well as the MTF, MTF meaning next three financial years. So for the current year, we've allocated an additional 1.2 million rand towards the inspectorate to allow for more remunerated man hours at certain border posts. In other words, we're extending the service on the current year. Chair, and then now for next year, out of the total reprioritization that we did, we made available 25 million rand. Again, chairperson, that's money already included in our NTF. In other words, it's taken away from other sources towards this specific point. Now, as I've mentioned, the option that we submitted to National Treasury, the policy option for the inspection services, is in total 100 million rand. Of which there's 25 is our own money, so we're requesting Treasury 75 million rand additional. The question, the second question from Mr. Mel was as far as the adjustments estimate is concerned. Chairperson, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, the rule states that for you to qualify, if I can call it that, for additional funds in the current financial year, the service as such must be unavoidable and unforeseen. So a normal idea from Parliament's side will be money that Parliament allows us for an outbreak of food and mouth of vessels, one through whatever is unforeseen and unavoidable at budget time. In this instance, the whole inspection services is unforeseen and unavoidable. So in terms of raising prescripts, one will not qualify for additional funds in this instance. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Madam Chair, Honourable Lally has said we might avoid some questions, so I wanted to check, and I have I've got five here which I want to ensure share that my colleagues here.
You're not a very lovable comrade.
The one is the dog units covering Nigeria. I would like my colleagues to come on that one specifically because it was mentioned. The second one is the timely inspection of the consignments. So if you could come on that one. The other one, which we might understand, but I think it's got to be answered directly, is whether the inspectors belong to the AG or of the department. If you could come on that one. The other one is by Honourable Bigley in terms of why are we quiet on exports. Chairman, could you come on that one and bring the BBECB on place? And then the other one, last one from Honourable Bigley as well, how swift is the inspection that we conduct to avoid the damages? My own, Madam Chair, is not so much what has been left out here, but again, to always emphasize the point that has been mentioned by Mr. Lalameya, to say the system under review worldwide is telling you. That's the first point. And with it, it's still evolving where you have this food safety that is being mentioned on biosecurity in general. The Biosecurity Act in the States came about 2-3 years ago itself. So it's in evolution. In Europe, you found a different angle altogether. In general, Departments of Agriculture disappeared altogether, and there was a focus exclusively on two matters, food safety and environment. At one time, you would find it difficult to get ministries of agriculture with the Scandinavian countries, and I think the name of the British system also still doesn't have agriculture in it. It's environment and food safety and something like that.
But that just indicates exactly what Mr. Lalamea was saying, that since 1996, the system has evolved to the point where a shift from where we are, from production to consumers, and agriculture is viewed from that perspective. And another point that he has emphasized here is the billions and billions that have been thrown literally into the system in terms of infrastructure, expertise, systems and processes. We've come hardly anywhere where the spending has occurred in the other countries. Some countries indeed have combined this with simple restrictions. The Japanese system is one of the most impossible to penetrate, purely because of the stress of the food safety. So they've not only gone in the manner that they've described as a mistake, like Mr. Adamea has said, they simply raised the wall to say anything else we don't want in the country because of the suspicions. Hence, in the WTO, we've got what is called non-technical barriers, where they raise these issues from the safety point of view. And the objective is very, very explicit, to trade. But you can't penetrate that issue because everybody's worried about this new system. So you've got a pendulum effect here. You've got to balance countries, as the members have pointed out, we are concerned about our safety. And at the same time, you've got to allow trade. And that balance is very difficult to strike. But I just wanted to outline in general, it's a system in evolution, and much of the WTO is bogged down exactly there to say a lot is being thrown onto this against trade and to stop it in the name of food safety. I just wanted to highlight that. If I could be allowed then to allow that to request my colleagues, Madam Chair, to ensure that we don't fall foul to the warning by Mr. Zai.
Thanks a lot, DG. Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. The issue on the Nigerian flies not being covered, I think that was when we had four dogs. We have now since procured six more to make it 10. But over and above that, what the Auditor General's report did not cover is that we have got secondary line inspectors who are not dog handlers but do searches within the green line at the airport, and those also do additional work in terms of what is needed in covering our risks. The second issue was on the timely inspections, and obviously one can take back to say that the number of inspectors would always dictate the time it takes you to do inspections. But what we have done is that we have come up to say that if we have got a problem in terms of the time that it takes us to do inspections, we need to develop a service level standards to say that if you have got, for instance, you apply for an inspection today, when are you likely to get your inspection back? That is something that will be a deliverable that will be tabled to the departmental QRM in September. The issue on the department or AG's inspectors, these are departmental inspectors, and our CFO has covered it to say that with the inspectors that we are having, what we have done, because obviously we cannot get more capacity, we have relied on overtime to make sure that we give inspectors overtime in order to perform functions outside the official hours that are there. And DG, if you allow me and Chair to sneak in one aspect that we didn't report on, was on the current compilation of SOPs. How far are we in terms of SOPs? 65 standard operating procedures have been developed thus far, and we are going to conclude the whole process in terms of the SOPs in October this year. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The question on the exports, if I can touch on that one, there are mainly two or three systems being developed through the years to look at our exports. There's mainly two, but the government itself is involved in putting down the legislation, the regulations, the legislative part, doing the certification and inspections. And then we also embarked on systems where we're making use of other participants in this environment to assist us. In that sense, for instance, we had to the EU, one of our main as you all know, trading partners in fruit and vegetables. They had to accept the what we call the Agricultural Product Standards Quality Management System, whereby we had indicated to them that in accordance with their prescription requirements also, that the minister on the top department will lay down the standards and the act and the policies, whilst we have the parastatal, the PPECB, Perishable Products Export Control Board, who is actually involved in the physical operational side, the inspection of fruit and vegetables exported from the country and the certification of it. So yes, we must also keep in mind that this report has not touched at all on all these other areas in this biosecurity environment. This report has only focused on import inspections. These others are all areas that has not been touched on. Thank you, Chair. The swiftness, and I would like to perhaps assist me there, but the swiftness is again, this report actually boils down to information and capacity. All the issues that's indicated in this report, you can take back to the fact that is there enough inspectors in the system, and to what management systems are we having entrance to. So the swiftness of product, and I can just assure honourable members that we started standing as within this work that we are doing in the front line. I mean, if there's a consignment on the wharf that's to be exported or at the airport and it's perishable, our clients won't allow us to day in and day out not doing that. So I accept yes, there might be in certain instances, again due to the lack of capacity, perhaps some delays, but in general, we are exporting and we are supporting the export of 8 billion rands of fruit and vegetables from the country. Okay.
Yes. I wanted to also add to the issue on swiftness of inspection of perishables, especially those that are inbound. There is a system that is also being established from the meat and poultry side, where the country that is exporting, the person who is actually importing, have to pre-notify the inspectors at the harbors that they will be bringing in so many consignments, and that they should be available to inspect those consignments upon arrival. The system is not yet working very well, but we are hoping that if the documents arrive on time and there is notification to the inspectors, we will be in a position to speed up the inspection of these perishable products that are actually coming into the country. The reason why we have to do that is, especially from the Devon Harbour side, we realize that there is a tendency of the containers not having enough space in which new containers can be brought in. We would like to have a system where these containers are released to a place where they could be contained, that they could be detained, so that they could be inspected, to also cut on the cost, what we call demurrage costs for the importers, because we would also like to facilitate trade and also the importation of commodities that are necessary for manufacturing purposes within the country. Thank you.
If the DG has marshaled his forces correctly, and I suppose that he responded accordingly, I'm not sure. Having said that, Chairperson, there is one or two issues that I still want to check with the department. In terms of the report under the equipment and infrastructure, there's been a comment in terms of the monitoring mechanism that the department has failed to comply with the rules and regulations. In terms of the report that I want to be on record was also here, that they promised the scope that they are going to submit a report and plans. I want to repeat that, as I said in scope, that we will appreciate if we can also have that copy of their plan, how far it is.
But having said that, Chairperson Naula, also go further to say that in terms of the quarterly report, which we are expecting departments to appear before us, this quarterly should be part of those quarterly reports. But my point is in relation to page 14 of the document, in relation to what they call a temporary relief. Now, this issue was covered by Scope, which I want to cover again, so I don't hear about their response. So I hope that now they'll be able to respond as appropriate. That between this temporary release point and the determined point, which I want to know who determined the next point from point A to point B, then in between the release point and the determined point, the issue was and still is, do you know what could happen in between? Say, for example, the consignment moving from point A and it's been temporarily released to point B, and the point which is determined by someone and by somebody, then in between that period, anything could happen. Who then monitors that from point A to point B, nothing is going to be tampered with? That's that point. And also in terms of the same issue, in the document it says, at the bottom of that is point, page 5, that 52% of the extended detentions selected for testing had not been inspected. 62%. Which therefore means that in fact the issue that I'm raising needs to be addressed accordingly. But at the same time, I want to address us on that particular issue to say, from this date of the report to date, can you, without any reservation, confirm or say to us that this particular issue is being addressed or is going to be addressed? In particular, refer you to the Cape Town Harbour and Port Elizabeth Harbour. Those are the two identified areas of concern in terms of this particular issue. And then again, I think in terms of this temporary release form, maybe you can just advise us what's contained in this form. Is it this temporary release form? And what is the reason of this temporary release form? Rather than if the consignment be checked fully, you know. And again, leaving that 52%, can you take care that from this release point to this predetermined point, how many consignments were checked in that point, you know? Maybe the last chapter in terms of this, in terms of response on an issue of staff here. But if I'm looking at page 8 of the document, which I think the department was also advised as accordingly, on page 8B, it says, role players are obliged by legislation to inform the Department of Agriculture of the arrival of any agricultural goods or such articles of that matter. I'm assuming, therefore, that such is part of the stakeholders are referred here, role players, part of the role players are referred here. If then the reply from yourself is saying that your data from SARS or your SARS doesn't talk to your SARS in terms of the system information, you see, that being is obliging SARS to advise SARS. And on basis, then therefore, SARS is not advising yourself accordingly of any goods, any vessel that arrive in the country. The last point. The equipment and infrastructure. Again, says customs can exercise as an X-ray machine, but this machine was not in use. I wonder if we can advise about this particular machine, whether that machine now has been exercised accordingly, in relation, of course, to the process and equipment infrastructure. No boxes, no lines, drivers, inspection, and us assist with inspection. All these issues, how far are you? I think that is all Chairperson on my side in terms of this. Thank you.
I just want to add on page 15, 5.5 on management information. As per the possible area for improvement that is comments from the
accounting officer, is there anything maybe according to policies or SOPs reporting inspection has been done? Is there any improvement taken from this paragraph 5.5? Or maybe I'm going to read the paragraph and maybe two. Okay. One of the of the answers indicated that the importer, I don't know whether it's the importer or the exporter, must report and say for the import I'm importing 1, 2, 3 and the consignment will be at the port on such and such a day, to enable the inspectors to be there on that particular day. I think it's impossible, because if I want to do something illegal, I can't report. I think there should be a system where the inspectors should always be there. Well, I understand that you are saying there's a shortage of inspectors, but really to think that people will always be honest, it's not right. People will never be honest. We're dealing with people here. If then I'm making a mistake. Be there today because I'm going to steal at point A or point B. No, it can't be. So inspectors must always be there. It's just a comment.
Yeah, I think what one has accepted is that yes, we all countries, when they enter into trade relationships, we sign protocols and all sorts of things. But there are always human frailties. There's always this issue where somebody believes that he can make a big fast buck, and they take their chances. I mean, you take, for example, today, I mean, every day you hear that there's the Greens that are watching the poaching of our marine resources and things. But then every second day you hear about how many tons of abalone, for example, have they seized somewhere. So you are going to get that. What we need to do, Jefferson, especially when it comes now to agriculture, where food is involved. I don't know whether the quality of a lot of stuff that's being dumped on our shores is such that our people can freely and without fear enjoy it. I mean, if you take our retail food chains, you can with reasonable certainty go to Woolworths, and with reasonable certainty be sure that the product that you buy there is of a reasonably high standard. But then again, can anybody afford that price? And you take the price of their cheese, for example. My personal experience is, it seems to have a longer shelf life. The quality is good, but look at the price. Our people cannot afford it. The majority of our people are poor. And therefore, Jefferson, I feel that if there are shortcomings in terms of the mandates that are given to the department that they need to carry out, and if there are shortcomings with regard to skilled people and that sort of thing, I think we should say that up front, so that the politicians can from time to time lobby the powers that be, that if we need this type of end result, then you need to put this and that in place in order to achieve that end result. I think that is a challenge. And all I want to say, Jefferson, is that one accepts
And there are tremendous challenges which the department faces. But the department must, as I always say, come out brutally frank and say that we can only do this if we are assisted in this and that way. I mean, sometimes
can I ask, in due respect to comrades, you are out, there are certain questions that need to be answered. I'm sorry, he thought I finished, there are still answering questions. So he's summarizing, you know, he was out when we answered another question.
So thank you, Doctor.
I thought you are still going to come up with your question.
No, my question is just that we need to be brutally frank about our shortcomings, and we need to come up front and say what is required in order to address. Thank you,
Madam Chair. May I thank Honorable Rani for this issue of the temporary relief, detention, following the discussion and appearance before SCOPA. I had a lengthy discussion with the officials, and it came to light indeed why in that meeting this issue raised certain questions as well as problems of understanding. My director here, Mr. Ramasogi, says he has now resolved some of these issues where the name doesn't say what it says, and I have said you should sort it out in the regulation so that what if is specified, and I would allow him to explain this, that we sort exactly the issues of this temporary relief, and then it's likely that after that we'll then have a more informed discussion, because the wedding is very, very confusing indeed. It was troubling ourselves as officials, and we would understand why members here in the SCOPA had problems with it. So he will go into that issue, as well as indicate then the element, and I think Honorable Zali has captured it well, on this point A to point B, and some of the issues that are of serious concern that we discuss. But with your permission, Chair, Mr. Ramaswadi would deal with that one. I thought that's the one that I should take very, very well. We accept the comments as well as the statements made by Honorable Member Mantuli in terms of what we should strive for and our people having to be there, as well as the matter indeed of the of Honorable Abraham in terms of setting up the system. It's extremely expensive. We know for a fact that Woolworths spend huge amounts of money in terms of the safety, actually having people on the farm. Especially that they relocate some of their services on the farm in terms of packaging, in terms of this. I'm sure that accounts for some of these pricing elements that come in. As a way of information also in terms of the government system as a whole, there is currently a bill, if not a policy, that is being introduced by the Health Department on the Food Safety Agency. This matter has been in evolution also between the two departments for some time. At one time it was who was going to actually lead in that. I think we gradually agreeing that it may have the two departments in particular playing a role here, because health covers certain aspects of the food safety. We cover in terms of agriculture certain aspects, but there is, if I'm not wrong, a document that is currently being handled between ourselves to come with this. How far it will address some of these issues remains to be seen. But amongst others, members would already be aware that the labeling has come to issue again in terms of the food. Amongst others, some people are saying whether to indicate the GM component, but some the substances that have been alluded here, so that then again the safety of our people come to becomes primary. It's the element that I alluded to, Chair, that some departments now, ministries, came altogether because of this primary focus no longer from the production, but from the consumption. And that changes the entire character of the what was ministries of agriculture, food, and forestry. And whether we're moving there, I'm not so sure, but certainly these concerns as they arise now and the investments that have been alluded to may actually force us, they have already forced us to, and we would be coming, as pointed to by Honorable Abrahams, to say that this matter needs huge, huge resources and attention. Within, of course, all the problems that we have regarding infrastructure, personnel, experience, and expertise. But we welcome these remarks. I've already indicated that what you have now in our department called biosecurity and disaster management is further likely to be split up into just that branch alone, into three other branches, to focus exclusively on inspections and other related matters, to focus on veterinary and animal health issues, and to focus on plant. Because that's where, amongst others, with our trading partners, they are pointing in this area that if you don't have the systems, don't export, and we don't even want you to import from us. So if we don't strengthen the agriculture sector in general, will be affected. And the health of our people would also be affected. So really, it's a key area that we've identified as soon as I came to office, even my predecessor, that biosecurity issue has been at the top in terms of our region. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. One issue that raised and ruffled a little bit of feathers in the SCUPA deliberations was the issue on what was termed then to be a temporary release, or what the department would also say is an extended detention. And immediately after those discussions, on Thursday, we had a management meeting within our component to look at the misnomer that extended detention has become. And obviously, within legislation itself, it's not captured. In terms of legislation, Section 4 of the Agricultural Pest Act, it says that the executive officer may determine any other place to be an inspection point that leads to this kind of permission of a consignment to move from one port to a place that is determined by the executive officer or the inspector. Honorable members, this is a world practice. It's not only unique to South Africa. This is meant to facilitate trade in terms of the WTO SPS and also be least restrictive to trade. But it says when you have given permission for a consignment to be inspected somewhere else, the inspection can be done at a point, and it becomes then a point of inspection where the inspection can be carried out. I hope that in terms of what this is clarified then. The issue, what is contained within that permission is that you have got the name of the importer, the place where the consignment will be inspected, and a short declaration by the importer that has got to be signed off, that they inform the inspector who will be doing the inspection. For instance, if you are in Bay Bridge, the inspection might be done at around Gauteng province, for instance, in Pretoria or Tshwane. Then the inspector there will have to be informed that the consignment has arrived there for inspection. And over and above that kind of paper trail that we follow, we also have got seals, that a consignment that leaves a port has got to be sealed, and the seal can be broken by the inspector on the other side, and that also applies to animal health issues. Now, in terms of the current application, what have we done in order to make sure that there is a clear linkage of a consignment that comes in and the inspection? We have set up an SOP that says, like already indicated, that the inspector giving permission for a consignment to move to another place has got to make contact with the office in the vicinity of where the consignment is going. And from there, an appropriation level can be made that the inspection, after the inspection has been made, then it has got to be fed into the system that the inspection was done at that particular point. And that also goes in terms of animal health, meat and others, that we inform the state vet who's in the vicinity, and the state vet gives us feedback that the inspection has been carried out. I hope that in short also clarifies issues that we had a challenge with, because the DG has already touched on that. Where we can give up is the number of inspections that we are doing. In between the point where the consignment is going and where it departs, obviously for each and every consignment, with the manpower that we are having, we cannot give that guard that we are having. But in terms of those high-risk material, we have got instances where we had inspectors who were accompanying consignment moving from one point to the other point to make sure that it has been inspected and it has been accorded that kind of risk level that was determined by the permit itself. In other areas that have not been determined, we mainly rely on a seal, a government seal that says that if that seal has been broken, then the consignment has been tampered with. In terms of SARS being part of the role players, yes, they are role players. In this case, there is a restricted and prohibited list that the department together with SARS have drawn up. The SARS has got to go according to that restricted and prohibited list and detain consignments according to that particular list. It will give you that, for instance, it will say plants and then go on feed and vegetative or propagative material and others. So we use that kind of system for SARS to detain consignments on behalf of the department. And in terms of equipment, the equipment that Owa Tambo, that's the X-ray machine that is there. The X-ray machine belongs to SARS, as already alluded. It was not used and hence currently not being used because SARS wants to develop a free flow system for the green area. So what they are saying is that it might be misplaced. They would need to place it somewhere else where they can screen the baggage. And that is the current kind of communique that we had with SARS. In terms of forklifts and other equipment, the department through the BCOCC has been going a route of saying that we need to have shared equipment for ports of entry. But over and above what the department has done is that we have done our own internal inventory of articles that are to be used by inspectors, and those have been refurbished to say that inspectors have got to have the right equipment for their own inspections. But in terms of forklifts and other equipment that are external to the department, it will be taken care of at the BCOCC level and at some stages where you have got to use forklifts at the importer's premises.
Just one
question.
On the screening machine by SARS, would I be right if I say SARS is only looking at what is inside the container? Is it the particular thing that is written outside that is inside the container? Not necessarily the safety of what is inside the container. Am I right?
The intergovernmental cooperation that you get at ports is that SARS will always inform on any transgression on any other act that is there. For instance, going through, if you put something through that has got organic matter, that might mean a plant or something that of animal origin. There is a clear description in terms of color that comes out there, and they would instruct that it be inspected. And I would gather that if there's something in terms of safety that is there, security issues, they will inform the SAPS accordingly.
I just want to make a follow-up, but the question, according to my understanding, is saying, for example, you put in maybe drugs inside the container and you write it's something. Is there any thing that you can monitor or the X-ray that you can go through and you can see what is inside there. Coming to the one from Senegal saying that now we are taking it from point A to point B. It's written here, maybe it's oranges or it's apples or spice inside, but it's not the thing that is written outside. Along the way to the inspection point, people, the owner of those things, take out that container and put in another thing, maybe it's just a go inland and still going to inspection. I understood it when it was raised to SCOPA as maybe they're saying something like that.
Thanks, honourable member. I think in terms of this emission that we have been talking about, there are two issues here. We are talking about integrity of a particular consignment and the security thereof of this particular consignment. Once there's tampering with the fields that have been done, then we obviously detected that there was something that was not illegal within the consignment. But it should be understood also that our current state of border rules does not allow us to do all inspections at the borders. We, in terms of the BCOCC now, in terms of infrastructure, they are now coming up with inspection facilities where we can do inspections. Because obviously in terms of the rate of trade and the rate at which inspections have got to be done, with the current state of affairs, we cannot do all inspections at the port of entry. Thanks. What has been done in terms of 5.5 is that there were stops that were put in place, one dealing with compilation of reports, the other one dealing with inspection, and the other one dealing with record keeping, and they're in place in terms of making sure that the integrity of what is being given to management has been assured.
Just one thing, on the budget allocation, do you have money that is allocated for training of inspectors? I know that there are shortages in research, there are shortages in many fields in agriculture, but do you have money that is specifically allocated for training of inspectors?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, we have got money for the training of inspectors. What has happened in terms of inspections, there are 30 legislative pieces. We have grouped them into 5, and we are doing West Bench training, we are doing formal training, we have also went a bit even further to say that we need to have this kind of training that is being given, being accredited by the South African Qualifications Authority to make sure that those who undergo that type of training get credit in terms of inspection. So there is money in terms of inspections and it's been used in order to gain this kind of leverage.
So,
person,
what is your program?
Honourable member, I think through Chair, the issue here is about the number of people that we are getting. For instance, this directorate came into being in 2005. And obviously it meant that there were 60 posts that had to be filled. And it goes further to indicate that once you have got new people coming in, the level of experience won't be the same as a person who has been there for 10 or so many years. And obviously you need to also face in the training part of it. In terms of the inspectors that are there, there is a strict balance between having a warm body at a particular post and balancing it against the inspector being trained. So there's that kind of delicate balance. We are having money. There are programs that are in place to make sure that all inspectors are being trained. We have identified critical areas in terms of workbench training, in terms of generic training that all inspectors have got to undergo. I think when the audit was done, it was at that phase where the integration between what was previously known as animal health inspectors and the plant health inspectors was taking effect, because we had now to start training them in terms of plant health issues, those with a mild health background and those with a plant health background. And suffice it to also indicate that the inspectors that are there are trained either pathologists or animal health technicians. What we are doing is making sure that they are having the relevant legislative training in order for them to execute the tasks that the legislative mandate gives us.
I just want to follow up there that the effort of training these inspectors, if it's made, are they managing to maintain them to stay with us in the department, or after a while they go for greener pastures? Are there for any mechanism of retaining them so that they can be with us for longer? Because what we experience that we train people, after a long time they go for their greener pastures because we can't afford to pay them according to what they would actually want, even though we have trained them. What are the mechanisms to retain them?
I think Mr. Masood will come in here, but honorable member, maybe he has touched a very troublesome point where we spend literally millions in terms of numbers of people that are involved in training, and some of them they just wait until they've completed, because when you receive training or you receive support, there is a contract, an agreement that each trainee enters in with the department to say after training you will save so much. They wait until they just completed, then they are gone. Some of them even go before. We have a particular case here, but my colleagues will talk to others, where in the effort to retain this official who was at the level, I think just below director, and he wanted to be retained at the level just above ADG from DG. And it was very difficult. He went and left. And here it's particularly black people. And within the black people, it's particularly women that are extremely mobile. It addresses a different question from an accounting officer perspective.
That's what I'm saying.
It addresses a different question. From an equity perspective, we have to meet those targets. And yet, it's exactly in this area where black in general are extremely mobile and female particularly. And people that are the least mobile are actually whites and males in particular. And so you have this running problem time and again to retain. I can assure Honorable Zali that this expertise is the most needed. And if you can secure it, at least I won't be drawn to the cold, hot coals in terms of scope, and I survived because of him. But we have that problem that we've got to balance the members. Firstly, in terms of the youth in particular, again, so it's the age, it's the gender, and it's the race. That's really particularly a challenging element. That's why I touched on the point that a report by DG and Minister of Public Service and Administration was noting this worrisome point of getting younger in terms of experience, younger in terms of age, less in terms of experience and expertise. The training might be there, but just the capacity of the state and its organs are actually losing out, and the graph is worrying. It's not only going down, but it's steep. In part, it's just the capacity of the country and its economy to grow. For instance, if you touch a subject that is well known to the members, on milk alone, the production demand and the supply of the country will be outrun within the next 5 years. So it doesn't matter in many respects what we do. The population growth and the demands are going to be outstripping whatever we can supply. It may mean we have to export, we have to import. But it's just the growth and the capacity of the country.
to the business growth. And therefore that's why it's linked in part that growth in the economic, social and economic. You've got importation of people coming in, they impose certain demands. You've got our changing needs in terms of taste and then you've got our growth, natural growth, and the flow and the movement of our people. All of these in and of themselves are not bad. It's just the coping capabilities of our economy to meet with them. Sure, 10, 15, 20 years we might begin to level off, but as of now we are in a steep thing. What's happening to China in terms of its impact worldwide is happening within our country, within our own self, where we really it's this need and this, everything is going up in prices. It's not a bad comment or a remark in terms of the mobility of the black people, because they're just going in now. And that's what we experience. Thank you, Chair.
Every human looks for getting a passport.
I think this brings us to the end of this meeting. Thanks for the presentation. Did you know me especially the interpretation of the auditor general report? I would like to invite everybody to all the things chambers for lunch.
Thank you.